I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you very much for joining us today at the Augusta Road Church of Christ for this worship service. Speaking about our worship services, perhaps when you came in this morning, you noticed right below our normal track rack, you noticed perhaps a new display consisting of DVDs like this one and this one. That is a really, really helpful addition to our resource display out there. It will help us to better understand some topics. I picked up one to show you in my sermon this morning about worship, the truth about worship. These are very well produced. These are very sound. Of course, that's the first thing to check for. And there are some of these selections out there, some about what must one do to be saved, and many, many other topics. I was very impressed by the number of topics that were being covered out there. In our worship service, of course, we strive to present worship to God in a way that is in keeping with His will. We worship the way that we do, not out of tradition or out of habit, or not even really necessarily because we like it this way. Hopefully we do like it this way because this is what God wants, but what's first and foremost in our consideration for worship is that. What does God want? And then we give Him what He wants. And this DVD here is a wonderful tool that walks through the acts of worship. And I would recommend you take one of these, watch it yourself. And then, this is my recommendation now, I would recommend that you take this, watch it for yourself, and then give it to somebody else. And don't just give it to somebody else. Give it to somebody else and wait a few days and follow up with them. Did you watch that DVD that I gave you? What did you think about that? Or if you haven't watched it yet, well, that's okay. No pressure. Watch it when you can, and then let's talk about it. I did that very thing with somebody that I'm hoping to baptize. I think she will be baptized soon. But we were talking about the church, and there's one of these DVDs that covers that material. So I was happy to give her one of those. And watch this when you can. I followed up with her a couple of times. She hasn't watched it yet, but I think it's coming. And I'm praying really, really hard for those efforts. This is a wonderful way that we can be an evangelist. This morning, my sermon combines two of my favorite things, Jesus and prayer. Prayer is, of course, one of our acts of worship, but we worship God according to His will. Included in that, is our need to pray to God. We don't just pray in our worship assemblies, though. I really hope it's true about you and your family that you pray regularly, not just when we come together. We don't just pray when we're here. We don't just study our Bibles when we're here. Hopefully this is a big, big part of who we are when we're away from here. Jesus' life, of course, gives us so many parts of examples that we should follow. And we can learn a whole lot about how we should be praying by stopping and looking at how Jesus prayed. And of course, the Bible is what shows us these pictures of how Jesus prayed. As we notice a few of these, we'll see, number one, that Jesus prayed early. Jesus prayed early in the morning. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Where it says that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out to a place by himself, a solitary place, and there he prayed. Early in the morning, that's perhaps a good method for you to employ. The psalmist says, if you connect back to Psalm 5, verse 3 lets us know that we will pray and praise the Lord early in the morning. Maybe that's a good time for you. Maybe it's not. We certainly wouldn't bind this on anyone and say you have to do it this way. But you know how easy it is for the day to get away from you and slip away. John Bunyan. John Bunyan is a man who made this quote, "Someone who runs from God early in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day." I'm not saying today that if you don't pray first thing in the morning that you're guilty of running away from God, but I am saying that what we do often reflects the priority that we place on things. Maybe you're not a morning person. You know that I'm not. Maybe your house is, like my house, pretty busy and chaotic in the mornings. Everybody's getting ready. Everyone has different places to go, different things to do for the day. The morning times are sometimes tense. There's a lot going on. Maybe that's not a great time for you to pray, but don't forget about it. Don't forget about it. Don't find yourself going to bed that night having not once that day paused to thank God for everything that he's given you that day, and also to pray for other people. There are a whole lot of reasons why I want to live a good, faithful Christian life. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us is perfect. We need to make sure that we stay faithful to the Lord so that when somebody asks us to pray for him or her, we know that we can do that. I've just this past week, I've had some very dear and special people ask me to pray for them, and it's touching. And it's a reminder to me, you know, I want to be a Christian for a lot of reasons. I mean, there's a long list of reasons why I want to be a faithful Christian. One of those reasons is because I want to be able to pray for somebody who says, "Will you pray for me? I need you to pray for me. I need you to come and pray for my loved one who's sick." That is a special thing that we have the ability to do. If we're faithful Christians, and if we're faithful Christians, we know that our prayers make a difference. We know that our prayers are powerful in that regard. James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means a prayer that somebody who is faithful to the Lord, faithful in the Lord, a prayer that person prays has some power. It has some power to do things. So my encouragement to you is, don't let that go to waste. Learn a lesson from Jesus' life here. Jesus was a very busy individual. Jesus didn't have a house to clean. He didn't have a home at all, the Bible lets us know. And it's quite sad to think about how our Savior left heaven to come to this world to talk to us about our better home while he himself was homeless. He didn't have a place to lay his head, the Bible says, Matthew 8, verse 20. So Jesus had a lot on his mind, more than any of us, and still he found opportunities to pray to God. He did this alone. The Bible lets us know, back to Mark chapter 1, verse 35, I think we need to spend some time alone with the Lord. We need to make sure that we are comfortable with the idea of just us and God, because one day, you know, it will just be us and God. When we stand before Jesus to be judged, everything that distracts will be away. No cell phones, no cars, no jobs, no bills to worry about. All of that stuff will be gone, and just us and God. How does that thought strike you right now? Just you and God. Nothing else around. No distractions. Nowhere to hide. One day it's going to be like that. And in our prayer, we have an opportunity to get comfortable with that idea before we face Jesus in judgment. Another way that Jesus prayed that I want us to learn from this morning is he prayed regularly. Jesus prayed early. Number one, Jesus prayed regularly. Number two, the Bible lets us know in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus went to the side of a mountain and there prayed. He was by himself again, alone, without his followers there, just him and God. Matthew 14, verse 23 lets us know that he sent the multitudes away. He went up to a mountain apart, and there he prayed. Mark tells us the same thing in Mark chapter 6, verse 46. Same account there is presented to us as readers. And then Luke adds this, or Luke shares this additionally in chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Jesus prays again. This time he takes Peter and John and James and goes to this mountain to pray. Perhaps we're learning a lesson about how close people felt toward God by communing with his creation. You think about a beautiful mountain or a beautiful scene that comes to your mind. Maybe it's a lake, maybe it's woods, maybe it's your yard, who knows. But you think of these things that God has given us, and they should draw us closer to God. Now, we know that the Lord is to be worshiped and not the things that he's made, so we don't want to distract from our worship of him by preferring instead, or by looking to instead these things that he's made. We don't want these to be distractions to us, and too oftentimes they are. People don't worship God because they're out with nature. They don't worship God because they're off doing other things, and that's not the idea at all. But maybe the idea that we're seeing with Jesus praying so frequently at these mountainous places is that it's at these places in nature that he feels a special connection with God. That would be great, wouldn't it? And then also, Jesus doesn't just pray by himself, because we see in Luke 9, verse 28, the verse we just read, Luke 9, 28, that Jesus takes some of his dear friends, Peter, James, and John. They're with him praying to God. I hope that you are making friendships in which your Christianity has a comfortable place. We need to make friendships where it's okay to be a Christian. It's okay to pray. It's okay to talk to our friends about the Bible. If those are not your friends, you need to work on that. And I'm not just talking to the kids this morning, although that's definitely a lesson that our young people need to take to heart. I need to find some Christian friends who will help bring out the Christianity in me. I need to find some people who don't mind praying, or who like the idea of studying the Bible or singing church songs together. These are great things for our kids to do. But also us adults. We need to find friends around whom we also feel comfortable with expressions of Christianity. We need to make friends that it's okay for us to talk to the Bible with, or it's okay for us to pray around. I think for all of us, our best friends need to be our church friends. And here at the Augusta Road Congregation, we have a really tight bond. We have a really special closeness that helps us be better Christians around others. Jesus, we see him doing that here in Luke 9, 28. He's praying to God. Again, don't let that important, powerful tool go unused. He's praying to God, but he's with his close friends. And that's very special, and that's very telling. Jesus prayed right before he died. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, we find Jesus there praying for himself, but not just praying for himself, because we know in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for his followers. Jesus wanted them to be blessed by God. And speaking of these followers, Jesus frequently taught them about prayer. Prayer was such an important and regular part of Jesus' life that he didn't just do it a whole lot, he taught about it a whole lot. You see in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus teaches that men ought always to pray and not faint. I find it quite remarkable that when the disciples wanted to learn a lesson about prayer, they knew right where to go. Matthew chapter 6, you know this bit of scripture very well, that they come to Jesus and they ask him, "You teach us to pray." That is quite an acknowledgement of Jesus' life. He lived a life that people could see, and they knew from the way that he lived, if I need to learn more about prayer, I know where to go. It's Jesus. Jesus prayed regularly. Jesus also prayed repetitiously. Jesus prayed for the same thing more than once. Now, I want to remind us this morning, as we're talking about praying with repetition, that repetition is not vain repetition. There's a big difference. You might remember in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, Jesus warning his followers not to be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, Jesus said, they were all about the show. They did things to look a certain way. They wanted to carry on as if they were religious. Really, really, Jesus explains in a bit more detail in Matthew chapter 23 that these are whited sepulchers. These are people who look pretty on the outside. They look pious and religious on the outside. But inside, Jesus says damningly, they're full of dead men's bones. So Jesus warned in our prayer life, in his disciples' prayer life, he warned that we don't follow the habits of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who prayed just to be seen of men, it seems. And back to Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable here, beginning in verse 9, of a Pharisee and a publican who went to pray. And the Pharisee's prayer, if you can call it that, the Pharisee's prayer is quite telling, quite revealing to the kind of man he was. Look at Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And you read these words and fuse them with your own understanding and your own informed study. But as I read this Pharisee's prayer, I'll tell you what, it doesn't sound like the first time he said these words. It doesn't sound like something that's coming from the heart. It sounds like something that he's scripted. It sounds like something that he's rehearsed. It sounds like something that he's practiced over and over and over again to make sure that he gets it just right. The Pharisee stands and prays thus with himself. That's an interesting expression, not frequently connected with prayer. Because normally when we pray to God. Here the Pharisee is described as praying with himself, blowing a lot of hot air. That's not truly reaching God because it's not being offered in a way that is contrite and humble. The Pharisee says, "I thank thee," he says this to God, presumably, "I thank thee that I am not as other men are." And then he begins to put down people in his prayer. I'm so glad, the Pharisee says, that I'm not an extortioner or unjust or an adulterer or even like this publican. The Pharisee can't even be gracious and classy in this situation. He calls out the publican in the same room with him. And then the Pharisee continues, look at it in Luke 18, 12. "I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess." Again, he's going on with how good he is, right? The publican, standing afar off, the publican's not demanding center stage like the Pharisee. The publican, standing afar off, dared not even to lift his eyes toward God, but But he looked downward and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not a very pretty prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's not self-aggrandizing. That's not something that brags or shows off. That's something, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's actually something that acknowledges how lowly he was. And Jesus says, Luke 18:14, it's this man, this publican here, this man was more justified than the Pharisee, even though the Pharisee looked the part, even though the Pharisee said all the fancy stuff that got the attention, even though the Pharisee put on like he was more religious than the publican, he was wrong and the publican was right, because his prayer was not offered from a pure heart. So in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus warns his followers not to pray like the Pharisees, not to pray like them, because they did things like this. Another thing the Pharisees did was they prayed with repetition. They said the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And in doing that, it lost its meaning. It lost its significance. There's a difference, though, in praying for the same thing multiple times. There's a difference in being repetitious and in being vainly repetitious. Jesus, for example, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39, 42, 44, Matthew chapter 26, verses 39, 42, 44, Jesus, in those three verses, prays for the same thing. Same thing he's praying for three times. You know what it is? He's praying that the cup of suffering might pass from him. He's praying once, twice, three times for the same thing. Not at all is it repetitious, though. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7, 8, 9, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Lord over and over again. He's praying that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh. He's praying for the same thing over and over again, but in no way is this vainly repetitious. Repetitious, sure, but vainly repetitious, absolutely not. So if there are things that we want to pray for over and over again, we should do it. Jesus shows us that's perfectly acceptable and even a good thing to do. We believe, after all, in the power of prayer, don't we? So how often are you going to pray for a sick loved one? I hope more than once. If something bad happens to me, I hope you'll pray for me more than once. If something bad happens to you, I'm going to pray for you more than once. We should pray repetitiously, just like the Bible tells us that Jesus did. Also, we should pray genuinely. We should make sure that our prayers have meaning and real meaning, that we don't just say things in our prayer because, you know, we feel like it's something you're supposed to say in prayer. We should mean what we say, and we should have a genuine connection with God. Our prayers to him should be a barometer of our relationship with him. You know, someone you never hear from is someone that you can't maintain a healthy relationship with. So we need to make sure that we talk with God. That's what we do in prayer. We need to make sure that we let God talk to us. And as we noticed in our Hebrews study this morning, the way God does that today is not through miracles, not through speaking directly to us, but through giving us this word that we need to make sure that we read. And it is that way that we hear from the Lord, and through our prayers we talk to God. And if we do that regularly, if we do that in the way that the Bible's encouraging us to, then we have that genuine quality to our relationship with him. And it's not unnatural. The Bible tells us that prayer should be comfortable for the Christian. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible lets us know that we come boldly before God's throne. And one reason
Why we come boldly before God's throne is because we know we have a place there. And we have a place there before God's throne not because we're so good, not because there's anything special about us. We have a place before God's throne because Jesus paved the way. Jesus, whose prayer life that we're studying this morning, he's the one that enables us to be there before God's throne. He's the one that allows us to be saved if we make sure that we do it His way. And this morning, I want to encourage you to make sure that you're saved and saved the right way. Be saved the way the Lord wants you to be saved this morning, by hearing His word, believing, repenting of your sins, confessing, and being baptized. The Bible lets us know that we must do all of those steps. And if you would like us to study with you more or teach more about those steps, we would be happy to help you. If, as a member of the Lord's church, you've already heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized, and you know that you need to live a faithful life to please God, if you're struggling in that department, we would love to help you out. You can repent of sins and confess those things. We would be happy to pray with you. We'd be delighted to pray for you if you have that need. If you'll let us help you now while we stand and sing, we'll be so glad to assist. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.